welcome once again to Win That Number. I'm your host, Ray Hunt. A good week off the field, but once again, no points picked up from the two matches during this past week. All the talking points from those matches coming up. But before we start, I'd like to brief you on a few ways for you to contact us. You can find us on Twitter at Number Podcast. Find me at RayHunt84 and Kevin on at Moscow Mush. Email us on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, you know, the usual. Let's now bring in the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Hello, Kev.
Hi, good evening. Congratulations to you on your 10-year anniversary, Ray.
Thank you. I didn't think you were going to do that.
yeah, I couldn't believe it was actually 10 years since I gave that speech at your wedding. But yeah,
oh, it was brilliant. I remember. I'm just sorry that nobody recorded it. It was, you know.
I'm very happy that nobody recorded it.
No, I loved it. I thought it was brilliant, and I can just about remember it. But it would have been nice to have it, you know, on record.
Oh, how did you spend your anniversary anyway?
Well, we just had a couple of days away from the kids, and we went up to Oxford for a couple of days, somewhere where we've never been before. I wanted to go somewhere close. We weren't too far away from the kids, but yeah, it was nice. Really, really nice city. I'd recommend a visit if you haven't been.
I have been, yeah. It's an academic wonderland.
It is. It was, yeah, really, really good. Right, so we've had the good with the appointment of Ralf Hasenhüttl.
Oh.
The bad with the Spurs result midweek, and the damned right ugly with yesterday's performance against Cardiff.
Very smooth, yeah.
Where are we going to start?
Any
news this week?
I don't think so.
No, I thought we should just go straight into the... Yeah.
Just go straight into the fantasy football and then we can wrap it up. But no, Hughes out. It's been the rallying call for so long and it's actually happened now.
Hughes out, yeah. A day after we did a podcast.
Yeah. in fact, yeah, the same day that the podcast came out, yeah. So yeah, him and Eddie Nowicki left the club. They said that the search for a new manager was already underway, and the rumours picked up fairly quickly that your man Ralf Hasenhüttl was the favourite to take
first
the job.
First Austrian Premier League manager.
Yeah. But yeah, that did leave Kelvin Davis to take charge of the game at Wembley. But yeah, I mean, from what I read about him leading up to it, seems like he's got all the credentials for a very good manager.
Indeed, yeah.
The only thing that's been said against him, I've heard, is that he doesn't have any Premier League experience. But, I mean, there aren't any Premier League managers worth their salt left with experience.
Unless it's Sam Allardyce.
Well, I mean, yeah, we talked about this before. We're not going to give that any credence. But, yeah, Red Bull Leipzig, pretty much the lesser of the Bundesliga, short of winning the league. Ingolstadt before that.
Got them promoted, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, took them from the relegation spots right up into the first Bundesliga. And,
I think when he was in charge of Leipzig as well, they were only just promoted, weren't they? And then he took them to second, so hell of an achievement.
Yeah, yeah.
And, actually, there's an article that I read. I actually tweeted it as well on Wednesday, I think it was. It was written by Luke Osman on Ralf Hasenhüttl. So check it out. I've retweeted it, so you can find it on our page. It's a really good read. So
yeah,
if
yeah.
You haven't read it, give it a go.
It's a good primer. Yeah, I enjoyed that. And this is even before it came out, they'd been appointed. And yeah, really whetted the appetite. First performance on... I suppose he hasn't had enough time to really stamp his mark on the team. But I'm genuinely excited. You know, I mean, going back to the Hughes sacking, it really reminded me of how I felt after they sacked Nigel Adkins. Now, I'm not saying that it's the same kind of, you know, why, you know, our Nigel, like we loved him so much and he got us promoted two seasons back to back. But it was just the timing of it, you know. I mean, Adkins was sacked just after we'd had a pretty convincing draw against Everton, and it was starting to look like the team was turning it around. And the same here, you know, after that awful result against Fulham, we do manage to grind something else out against Manchester United. And then, yeah, straight away get sacked. So, the timing really confused me.
Well, I think it's like most football managers. I think it is a results business, and they are basing on the ones beforehand. They already had their mind made up that Hughes was going, regardless of the result. But yeah, I think as soon as that Fulham game was finished, I think they made contact with him then. I think Hasenhüttl, this is, and they approached him then. And then, of course, I think the Man United game didn't matter. I think even if United Saints had won that game, then Hughes would have been out.
That would have been really strange timing.
Yeah, I mean, us looking on the outside, you thinking, yeah, why then? You know, why not wait till the Spurs game then? Or why not do it before the Man United game? I guess that's a weird...
Well, I was thinking more of the Cardiff game, you know, that give him like one last chance to try and pull something out and turn it around. And, you know, I mean, that Fulham game, there was an international break that they could have made use of. But I guess they were just hedging their bets. Yeah, I mean, it's sad, you know, and I just worry for the financial position of the club, because, I mean, this is the fifth manager in the last 3 years. We're giving them all 3-year contracts, and yeah, this is now our fifth manager. And then, Koeman left of his own accord, but yeah, all of the other managers since then, we've had to pay off the rest of their contracts. So, I mean, we must be down like in the tens of millions just on that.
Yeah, I mean, it harks back to what I was saying about how badly this club's been run over the last 5 or 6 years. You know, why should we? I mean, it's like I said, it is a results business, isn't it? I mean, you have to. I mean, why didn't they just give Hughes another 1-year deal?
Or why did they bother with him at all? If this guy, you know, I mean, if this is a black box, and you know, we've had people on the radar and that sort of thing, Hasenhüttl's been out of a job since May, so mm-hmm. they could have quite easily brought him in the summer if they'd really wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand that. Yeah, he left at the end of the season, didn't he? So, yeah. Yeah, that's a strange one. I hadn't really thought of it like that. I mean, it was obviously on the radar, but I guess they figured they'd give Hughes a chance for keeping us up. I thought, well, you know, he was only there short term. He's kept us up. It's only fitting that we do give him a contract. But, yeah, I question the length of the contract. I mean, because you always knew he was never going to stay beyond that. I mean, I think we said it at the start of on our pre-season preview that there's no way he's seeing out his contract.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real place for loyalty in this kind of cutthroat business. I mean, we saw, again, Adkins.
Results business, isn't it?
It's truly results. I mean, yeah, Cortese was pretty ruthless with that.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Les Reed, though, that he wasn't willing to be that ruthless, because he did have a good relationship with Mark Hughes. Maybe that's one of the things that led to his downfall.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But then, you know, wholesale changes now, at this stage of the season. You know, we haven't got Les Reed now, haven't got Mark Hughes. New man in charge, fresh eyes. Is there enough time now for him to turn it round?
Oh, he's got bags of time. And if Hughes had enough time to turn it round a little bit to keep us up, then, he's got a lot more time than Hughes did. If this man can't keep us up, I don't think anyone can. And I think there must be an agreement that, okay, if we do go down, he'll be the man to take us back up again.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. Like I say, with fresh eyes, fresh way of thinking, new coaching staff. Yeah, I think it is exciting. Like you say, I am excited for this new era, and let's hope it is. With his new like high press style of play, that it can go back to the days of Pochettino, because that as a Saints fan, I've never seen Saints play as good as they did under Pochettino. So hopefully, once he gets settled in, let's see what happens.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, Koeman, similar attacking style of football. I mean, it's a thing that was being bemoaned of Claude Puel that it was boring. Yeah, the results were there, but it just wasn't exciting to watch. And Pellegrino and Hughes, I suppose Hughes' style was a little more interesting to watch, but just the results were just so dire. One last question. With a manager who's famed for a pacey attacking youthful style of football. Do you think we'll be seeing more of the youth team coming through into the first team?
Absolutely. I mean, looking at his team sheet from the first day, I know he hasn't, you know, he's not settled into this club yet, but I mean, he did start Jan Valery. Then again, most of the youth players that he would like to bring through are already out on loan. So I don't know where this leaves Sam Gallagher, but then again, Obafemi wasn't involved in his squad either. But yeah, I think so. I'd like to think so anyway. I mean, you know that he's worked with like the likes of like Naby Keita as well.
Timo Werner.
Yeah, Timo Werner. And also I think Pascal Gross was one of his as well. So, it's like a little passion project for him, isn't it? Bringing up these youth players. And so, yeah, hopefully. I know Koeman wasn't too keen on playing the youth, but let's hope he does. Let's hope that this club gets that injection. And Obafemi, let's let him grow a bit as well and give him some time.
Yeah, sure, I'm all for that.
Right, let's go into the Spurs game, shall we, on Wednesday. So it was 3-1 to Spurs. Goals from Harry Kane, Lucas Moura and Son Heung-min. And a 94th-minute consolation goal from Charlie Austin. I want to talk the starting 11 with you. Calvin Davis took charge of this game. So we had McCarthy, obviously. Target Yoshida, Stevens, Cedric at the back. He had two holding midfielders in Højbjerg and Stephen Davis come into the team. Redmond, Armstrong and Ward-Prowse making a start, and Gabby Adini up front on his own. What did you make of the Ward-Prowse and Stephen Davis starting?
Yeah, I think he was definitely making a statement about the players that he thought had been left out unfairly in Ward-Prowse and Davis. And to a certain extent, Gabby Adini, who Hughes late on in his reign kind of tried to find a more winger kind of role for him. But yeah, he was left alone up front. So yeah, I don't know. I thought it was kind of, it made clear some of the frustrations maybe that were in the team. Didn't go with Obafemi or Jan Valery either. So yeah, I'm a little bit surprised at some of the choices, but I suppose you can understand them. I'm a big fan of Stephen Davis. I still think he's got something to offer, but I think it's just maybe a question of morale.
Yeah, I mean, I raised my eyebrows when I saw it. I mean, I was expecting Valery to be included because I gave him the man of the match in the last game. I thought, yeah, he'd go straight back into the team. Obviously, didn't think so. And Stephen Davis, I want to see him get more minutes. Maybe not a start, but it would be nice to see him, you know, get more play time. Gabby Adini won. Yeah, that was a bit of a shock. I mean, did he really deserve to start?
I don't know. I mean, Ings is injured. Austin can't play more than, I don't know, about 40, 50 minutes of football without getting knackered. It doesn't leave it over for me or Gabby, so he's chosen to go with the devil he knows best.
Yeah, he's just playing the one up front, though. That was a bit of a surprise for me. I definitely thought he would go with the two. But never mind. It was okay. It was a decent enough starting lineup.
You got Redmond and Armstrong there that can come forward in attacking roles anyway. So
I suppose you could. Yeah, I suppose you could move that formation to a 4-3-3 if you say move Ward-Prowse back with Højbjerg and Davis, and then Redmond, Armstrong and Gabby Adini. Yeah, I agree. Could have done that. So the game 3-1, as I say.
Yeah.
It was an interesting one because I thought Saints played quite well, second half especially.
Yeah, so right from the off, I don't know, they just seemed really lazy, and I just thought it was a matter of time before the goal came. What was it, 9-10 minutes in?
Yeah, Harry Kane doing what he does best.
Yeah, even before that, Son managed to hit the post. Yeah, that was a bit of a bellwether.
Yeah, a bit of a warning.
I don't know how. It was from a corner, and yeah, Kane just managed to run through the entire defensive setup, just through about what, six or seven players, and Yoshida just useless.
Well, see, I can't decide whether it was a defensive lapse or Kane was just being Kane. Yes, okay, Yoshida was a bit stagnant, but yeah, I just think Kane made us look worse, to be honest.
I'm sure he's the one thing you got to look out for on set pieces.
Well, yeah.
And we weren't.
No. Any positives?
From the first half, about halfway through it, I mean, after that first goal, we did look like we were sort of dealing with the counter attacks that Spurs were putting in, and yeah, I mean, we were making a few good breaks now and then. Yeah, at halftime it finished 1-0, so that's a positive. And
well, the Højbjerg shot
That was a screamer
from Lloris, and then Armstrong with the rebound should have been bearing that. He should have, yeah.
And there were a lot of moments like that throughout the game. I mean, we hit the post a number of times, 3 or 4 times. Yeah, post up. And Lloris did pull off some wonderful saves.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, he's my man of the match.
Yeah, I already had him down as mine. Yeah. But the second Spurs goal came from another set piece. I question Yoshida's reaction timing on this one.
Yeah, just turning his back to the ball again. Yeah, I really don't understand it. It's just like Wesley Hoot did
a week before. And then Son, third goal, Matt Target to blame. Should have dealt with it a little bit better, and it was like a nice easy tap in for Son. So basically the game was over like 5 minutes into the second half. And then Saints started to play. It was like the Man City game. They conceded 3 goals and then started playing. You know, if only they had started the game like that. Because, as you say, Redmond hit the crossbar at that point.
Yeah.
Hugo Lloris made a double save as well, didn't he? I think the second one was from Ward-Prowse. It was point blank, straight down his throat.
And so there was another Højbjerg screamer as well, potentially.
Yeah, he made a good save from Charlie Austin as well, and Charlie Austin at the bar. So they were creating the chances. So it was encouraging, even though it was 3-0 down. But the pass from Stephen Davis for Charlie Austin.
Yeah.
That was Scholes-like. It was fantastic ball over the top. And Charlie Austin's first league goal of the season.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. He actually managed to score.
Yeah, took it well.
Yeah, one on one, you think that he's going to sky it, but no, he does the goods. I'd say it was his first legal league goal that had been actually allowed.
Absolutely, yeah.
I suppose they didn't call him offside.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was well played in the second half. I mean, I looked at the stats at the end of the game as well, and the 18 attempts to their 13, you know, 3-1 does flatter them. Yes, we got beat. They're the better side. And yeah. I think it was just only a matter of, you know, they're just having the quality. Defensively, we haven't got it. Offensively, they have.
Yeah, with a different goalkeeper, could have had a different result, but yeah. Still, it would have ended up the better for him.
Yeah, so man of the match apart from Lloris?
I don't know. I'm kind of torn because, mixed performances from pretty much everyone. But Højbjerg or Redmond? What would you say?
I've given it to Redmond, I think, just because, you know, he's carrying on what he's been doing all season, really, just continuing to run at defenders. Into creating opportunities. I think he hit the bar as well, didn't he? Yeah, I think, and as we saw later on against Cardiff, I think Hasenhüttl looks to him to play through the centre as well going forward. I think he could be very, very crucial for our Premier League survival. You know, so yeah, I think Redmond deserves it for me.
Yeah, through the centre, that's an interesting proposition because he's been very strong making those incredible runs down the flanks. But, it would be interesting to see what they come up with in the future.
Yeah, so moving on to Cardiff then. So this is a difficult one to talk about because it wasn't a very good game. So they lost 1-0, goal from Callum Patterson. Starting 11 for Saints, so Hasenhüttl's first game. McCarthy in goal. Valerie Bednarek comes in. Vestergaard comes in. And Target. So three Yans at the back.
That's true. Yeah.
Højbjerg, Romeu and Lamina in the middle with Armstrong, Redmond and Austin up front. So it looked like a 4-3-3 and it looked like Redmond was playing through that centre. But as we saw, as the game went on, Lamina looked like he was playing pretty high. He had a little bit, I think, with Romeu and Højbjerg there, both sitting holding midfielders, Lamina had a little bit more freedom to move forward. So I think that was his thinking as well. And obviously with Armstrong and Redmond able to run, you know, doing the work for Charlie Austin pretty much. So, yeah.
So it ended up more of a kind of 4-2-3-1.
Yeah. Yeah.
Austin just goal hanging.
That's it. Because he can't run, especially in this new system that they've got. So, good start from Saints. Austin had a little flick just past the post to start the game with.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much he could have done with it. But...
No, it was a good, nice little flick. But that didn't last long.
No.
Cardiff had a really good spell finding the space. And Jan Valerie and Target didn't have their best games. I mean, they were being caused problems all the time. You could say they were targeting Target. Sloppy in possession again.
Just, I mean, yeah, losing the ball just all too easily. And, it's what we were lauding Valerie for before. Now... I'm not so sure about them.
Oh, you're allowed to have those games, but...
Against Cardiff?
No, that's what I mean. Against Cardiff, he wasn't really... You know, but they got some quick, speedy wingers there. They were causing him problems. But yeah, Valerie come off at half-time as well, and they put Stevens out there.
Mm-hmm. Didn't do much better.
No, but... Yeah, I think Valerie was just struggling with the pace of the game. Do you think, like, defensive chemistry is an issue now? Because I think we've used every single defender we've got and not necessarily in their right position.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going through every possible combination until we can find two centre-backs that can play together and have some sort of agreement and understanding between each other.
I don't think we've got that unit at all. I'm not convinced.
Bednarek
didn't have a very good game. He didn't cover himself in glory. And we all know what Vestergaard did. There's just nothing consistent there. There's never been a back four that knows what that seems to be. It'll be really, really interesting to see what Hasenhüttl does for Arsenal. You know, he's got that full week to work with them now. What is he? I have no idea. It could be any one of those players that are playing centre-back. I've got no idea. I wouldn't be surprised if Hoot and Yoshida come in and played centre-back. I wouldn't be surprised. But... Anyway, back to Cardiff. Matt Target, I don't think he had a very good game. He didn't have a very good game against Spurs either. What did you make of him?
Yeah, I don't think... I mean, he should be making the best of his chance to try and prove that he can fill that position with Bertrand being out. Hasn't won me over, definitely.
No, not good. I want to talk about the penalty shout on Stuart Armstrong. Was it a penalty for you?
It did look very weak. You do seem given, but I wasn't up in arms about.
No,
about
that. I agree. No, I think he was on his way down, I think, and I don't think his arms in the air helped matters at all. I think the ref just looked at it and thought, no, not having that one. However, the Redmond one.
Yeah.
That was a penalty. He clipped his leg. Yeah, I'd be given that.
But it was a stronger one, but it wasn't like the most egregious thing. It's not like we can say that we were hard done by and we were robbed of a result. We just weren't good enough.
No. And it all basically come down to the horrible defensive error that made the difference. That was it. At that point, I was, it's 0-0. This game's 0-0. And I don't think it deserved to be anything else. Patterson's like a makeshift striker as well. I think he plays right back for Scotland.
Yeah.
Just like, for Christ's sake.
So they don't have a known strike force. And he's absolutely under no pressure whatsoever. And I don't know what it is. Is it a back pass that he's trying to do but doesn't get enough weight on it? Or He thinks that there's someone there, maybe he's seeing ghosts or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the only thing that I do know is that he's not a Premier League defender.
No, and it's just so sad that, you know, he's he must be our most expensive defender, and
£18 million well spent. Yeah, brilliant. Mm. I don't think Hasenhüttl's going to give him a start anytime soon. 63% of possession as well. Just didn't really create much. I mean, we created more in that Spurs game by a long way.
Yeah.
Just nothing happening.
This is the same story we've been having all season. But bossing possession, playing it around. Having a lot of shots, although I can't say we had a huge number in that match, and not making the most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, same old things. But yeah, it's going to take some time for us to see any result, you know, once they get into that training.
I mean, we all know about Hasenhüttl's style of play, that frenetic high press, you know. I was eager to see it, you know, come to fruition, and I really wanted to see what his starting 11 was as well at the start. I was really intrigued. But first impressions on his first game in charge?
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure about that combination of Romeu, Højbjerg and Lamina, you know, who are kind of seen as more defensive midfielders. But yeah, if you are playing Lamina in a more attacking position,
yeah,
then
he played with Lamina
sense.
In a more advanced role. I know it was a 4-3-3 on paper, but I'm guessing they had the freedom to move around. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Very defensive. I know he's had next to no time with this squad, so I'm not going to judge him too bad. But with the ball, we were terrible.
Yeah.
That's what it came to. We gave it away too many times. And I did notice a lot as well that when the ball was coming in into our area, we were hoofing it. There was a lot of hoofing the ball. Just get rid of it. I don't know whether that's Hasenhüttl that has said that to them. It's like, look, this is the position that we're in. Any danger, get rid of that ball. I don't know whether he said that to them, whether he's done his film study, he's looked at Wesley Hoo and thought, Christ, this is causing Saints a lot of goals. They just need to get rid of it. Thinking, you know, safety first. I don't know whether it was that.
It could just be nerves. That there's a new manager that you've got to try and impress, and they don't want to give the ball away. They'd rather hoof it out of danger or get it across the line.
Sure, but then when they've got the ball in the middle of the park as well, there was a lot of giving it away. I know that's the same old Saints, but you can't really judge him for this just yet. But zonal marking again at the corners? I don't like it. I've said it before. I don't like it at all. I'm not a fan. It doesn't work. So that doesn't look like that's going to change. But on the plus, I mean, I am more hopeful that once he gets his stamp on the team, you know, we're going to be more successful than we have been. He did seem very vocal on the technical box as well. Doesn't seem very shy. And he looks like a man that's going to get stuck into your players as well. So I think he might, you know, get that fear factor in. So, yeah, once he get, I mean, I know he's going to have a full week now for the Arsenal game. It's just a shame that he's got his first, you know, home game against Arsenal. It's tough, really tough. But, yeah, he's got a whole week with them now. He can take training with them, make his decisions, come up with a proper game plan. And, you know, we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy watching that.
First game I'm going to all season. It's the one at Arsenal, yeah. Going to be good.
Well, you never know.
Well, it's me that's going. I'm a bit of a jinx.
Oh, well, for the last home game I saw against Arsenal, we won 4-0.
Yes, I remember that. I wasn't at that one, was I?
No.
There you go. Man of the match in this one? More difficult.
I still think Redmond. I think he's one of the players that Hasenhüttl was going to have fun with, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Him along with Lamina and maybe some of the younger players. Femi, Valerie. Possibly Long could be brought back into the team.
Oh, that'd be nice. It'd be nice to see a manager that really, really gets him playing again.
Mm.
I'd love that.
Because he's a positive player. He's just incredibly unlucky.
Yeah, and it kind of suits his style of play as well. He's he's a non-stop, chase the ball down guy. Doesn't stop working. So, yeah, I think I'd give it to Lamina only just because he looked more effective in a more advanced role, really. And I think if he carries on in that way, yeah. We all know what sort of work he does as well. He likes to put a shift in. So, yeah, Lamina, Redmond deserves a shout, like you say. But, yeah, that was a tough one, though. Real, real tough loss. So that leaves us in 19th still, on 9 points. And, you know, that was only because Man United beat Fulham that we would have been bottom of the league. So,
yeah, and there is a big gulf opening up between the bottom seven and the rest of the table. And
yeah, it's worrying. It's like Cardiff have won like the last three home games now.
Yeah, they've been on fire. They've come out of nowhere. Everyone wrote them off at the beginning of the season.
And it's still,
I guess that's why, you know. I mean, they're not under any pressure to.
But you still look at them on paper and you think that's a terrible team. No disrespect, but it's not a Premier League team. They've got a right back playing up front, for Christ's sake, and they're still beating us.
Mm.
It's, yeah. So what's next for Saints?
Arsenal.
Yeah, we've talked of it. Arsenal next Sunday. Oh, daunting. Horrible. Arsenal fifth in the league, 34 points, two losses. And that was the first two games of the season to City and Chelsea. So they haven't been beaten since. It's very difficult to get anything out of them.
Although, did you see the Huddersfield's Arsenal match?
Yeah, it was a close one, wasn't it?
That was very close, so that must give us some kind of hope.
Yeah, and that was at the Emirates as well, wasn't it?
Mm.
So,
yeah.
I think you've got when we've got a defence like ours, and you've got Aubameyang on 10 goals, and Lacazette, I think, has got 6.
Torreira looks like a proper
Torreira
beast as well.
Torreira looks like he's coming on, yeah. You've got Mkhitaryan, who can't, you know, he was on the bench yesterday, I think. Ozil can't get a look in at the moment. Yeah, Unai Emery has got you know, he's done a really good job turning this team around again. And, you know, those fans are hardcore.
Yeah.
But I am actually enjoying watching Arsenal play this season. I think he's a really good manager.
Definitely. And we've got some managers that have given us some really, really impressive and watchable football. Like Maurizio Sarri at Chelsea, obviously, yeah. Klopp and Pep at Liverpool and City.
Don't want to talk about Klopp.
Sure, but I mean, you end up watching the first kind of five or six matches on Match of the Day and thinking, wow, this is really exciting.
Yeah. If you give Unai Emery a few transfer windows, and I think they could genuinely challenge City and Liverpool and Chelsea. I'm not saying they will yet, but yeah, they're up there. I mean, they're Champions League, aren't they? I think they've just got a little bit over Spurs. Massive win last week as well for them against... Well, that wasn't last week, was it? It was the week before. But yeah, very hard to get anything out of them. I can't see us picking up a point. I'm going to have to go with a 2-0 Arsenal win.
Okay. Yeah.
You seem surprised by that.
No, I mean, Arsenal probably going to win, aren't they? I just think it'll be a little bit closer. So I'm going to go 2-1 Arsenal.
Okay.
I think we'll get a goal.
Who's going to score?
For us, Stuart Armstrong.
Okay. All right. Nice. Okay, so predictions. I'm going to go into that from last week.
Yeah.
I actually said 3-1 Spurs.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I didn't even realise until I was writing my notes. I thought, oh, okay, I got that right. I completely forgot. You said 2-0, so that's 5 to me and 2 for you. Cardiff game, I said 2-1 to Saints. You said 1-0 to Saints, so nothing there. Overall, the scores are now 30-29 to me. Grab the lead straight back.
Still close, though.
Very close. I wouldn't have thought it'd been this close at this stage of the season, but yeah, it is. So, fantasy football quickly.
No real changes in position as such. Although Dave McNeese, Deportivo, East Cows have moved up the league a little bit into sixth. Interestingly, Patrick Shea's team, which was called In Sparky We Trust, and then he changed it to Sparky Please Leave, and now it's Do the Hoodle.
Okay, I didn't see that.
He looks like this week's loser on 31 points. Real Deal FC, Marcus Fanshawe, scored 55. You ranked in 42 as it stands. And
I got Salah and Kane.
Yeah, but you had Bertrand and Ings in there as well for some reason.
I told you, I can't take Ings out of my team.
Okay, it's going to change them out for you. But yeah, I mean, this is all before it's updated. Aubameyang, he didn't score, did he? He got an assist, I think. Firmino.
No, he didn't score, no.
Firmino, did he not score? No, he got a couple of assists.
Firmino scored.
And Felipe Anderson scored. Ben Mee kept clean sheet. He's on my bench, so yeah. Not an amazing week, but just very, very much average.
Yeah, okay.
Because of our managerial change, we did say it could take us a couple of weeks with the Valerie chant, so we'll definitely do that next week. You said off mic that you had a chant for Ralph Hasselhoot, our new manager.
It was not mine. I can't take credit for it, but I saw a Hasselhoot chant, and I thought maybe we could share it on here. Okay, so it's, ooh, Kruger went to Europe to buy an apple strudel. Instead, he bought a gaffer. His name is Hasselhoot. He presses on the left flank. He presses on the right. And when he saves us from the drop, we'll sing this song all night.
I hadn't heard the full version.
You hadn't heard it? Oh, okay, it's been doing the rounds, so I thought, I'll grab that. Okay, is there anything else that you want to touch on?
Congratulate the wonderful Matt Markstone on Saints Podcast. Yeah, 100
episodes up. Still going strong, congrats. That's brilliant.
True veteran of Southampton FC podcasting. So, yeah, well done, mate.
Yep. Excellent. I second that.
Just the usual. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And, subscribe, review us on iTunes. Tell us what you think.
Send us some emails as well and let us know what you think about Hasselhoot. And again, check out our Twitter. Get involved with our polls as well. Have you got any polls this week?
Gambit Narek.
Yeah, very good. But just keep up to date and up the Saints.
Up the Saints.